want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Good morning, gentlemen. This is Matt Halleck coming at you with another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I am just absolutely honored at the influx of just Man Warrior King men. I'm honored at the influx of men into this community. And I have been producing content for a couple of years now. And I've been, you know, as many of you know, just I've been writing books, wrote the book, The DNA of a Man. And I've been sharing the message and at the same time formulating the message that God has been putting inside of me. I've been basically doing my best to chronicle the things that I both have learned and am learning on my journey to become a man. And not just a man in any old sense of the word, but a man in the kingdom, a man of the kingdom, a man who is on fire for Jesus and also having an impact in the world. And the heart that I have is to really lead men, to show men that we don't have to choose between being a good Christian man and being a man of some effect or some value in the world. And I think for a long time, we have lived under this dichotomy of churchy manness on the one hand and actually like effective going out and getting crap done manness on the other hand. And it just doesn't work. And it's not biblical at all. And I think a lot of that discrepancy between being a churchy guy and a guy who can actually get stuff done in the world has come from this weird mindset, this weird like belief that it's somehow wrong of us to go out and make a difference, to go out and leave an impact. It's somehow wrong of us to think that we actually can't. I mean, that's ridiculous. So what we are going for here is building up men who have been after Jesus, and yet they are feeling disillusioned. They are feeling maybe misled, misguided, maybe even tricked. Because somehow they thought that just by that by following and loving Jesus, that was going to eliminate a lot of the problems that they're having now. And we feel as men like, man, we are trying to do everything we can. We are trying to follow hard after Jesus. And yet, if somebody were judging by my life whether they wanted to follow Jesus as well, they'd probably say no. This is how a lot of us feel. A lot like David, right, in the Psalms where he says, man, why is it that the wicked prosper? But I don't. So that's what we are after here as a Man Warrior King community. But I want to let you guys in on who I am. I want you to see a bit of where I've come from. And hear my story. See, when I was a kid, when I was three, my parents got divorced. And as is the case with a lot of split, broken families, I lived primarily with my mom. And I would spend 10 days with her and then 4 days with my dad. And the process would repeat. And as a kid, I didn't really know the difference. Like that was so young that I couldn't tell really. I don't have a memory of when my parents were together, other than maybe a couple of, you know, like mental images of certain houses or something like that. But I don't remember what life would have been like with my parents together at all. And my mom lived about 3 hours away from my dad. So like that every 10 days, I would take a 3-hour drive to visit my dad for a few days and then come on back. And I have really good memories of those times with my dad. Really good memories. When I would visit him, I think it was pretty consistent that every time I would go, we would make it a point to take a trip to Toys R Us to buy me something new, some kind of new toy. And it wasn't ever huge. It was usually an action figure of some kind. I don't remember which ones, you know. I know I had a lot of G.I. Joes. I think I had some, like, Marvel or DC superhero people as well. Maybe some X-Men people. I don't know. I'm trying to, like, pull up from the dregs of my memory some of these things. But we would also go play baseball. He would take me out to the field and practice. He would hit fly balls to me, ground balls, all those things. We would do so much. And I would go to work with him. He is a veterinarian, even still. And he owned his own practice. So I would go to the animal hospital with him and hang out many days. And I knew all of his employees. I would walk around and make friends with all of the different animals. Especially, I loved the stray animals because a lot of times they were doubtful of people. They were on guard, and even the ones that people said, "Well, you're not going to be able to build a relationship with them." I did, and I loved it, and I felt like my dad was a superhero. You know, I looked up to him, and he expressed his love for me a lot, more than a lot of dads do. And I'm so thankful for that. And he eventually decided to be close to my sister and I. He decided to move closer to where my mom was living, which a lot of dads don't do. And I was very thankful for that too. There were many ways where he really blessed me as a dad. And it got to a point, though, when I was in middle school where we stopped seeing him. And in this venue, I'm not going to go into all the details about why, other than just that he made some mistakes in his life, some ongoing mistakes. And he, in spite of his deep desire to be a good and a present dad, I mean, he spent so much time with us. In spite of those things, he made some mistakes and some bad decisions that were actually dangerous. And when I was in sixth grade, I stopped seeing him. He had moved to be just down the street from my mom's house for our sake. And then these decisions came to a raging head, and we stopped seeing him. And I remember writing him a letter about why and about how I loved him so much, and I needed him to stop certain things in order to be able to keep on seeing him. And what happened from there is, according to the place where he was at in his life, he wrote a letter back and communicated how deeply he was hurt by all of that, and how much it hurt for his kids to not want to see him. And what that did, I know that he was trying to communicate his own feelings as well, and those were very real. But for me, what that did was it made me feel rejected. It made me feel like my thoughts and feelings, they didn't matter, and that I was guilty for things that he had done. And so I remember just feeling utterly, you know, alone in the journey of manhood. I remember feeling cut off from him and not knowing who to turn to. I didn't have an example to look to. Not really. I mean, I had people. I had other family members. Like for a time, my grandpa. I had teachers. Thankfully, my mom had me in a Christian school. So I had some good role model men teachers. Really good. I mean, I can to this day remember countless interactions, countless times that these men formed me and impacted my life. But that none of that is enough to completely replace a dad. And what really was like the final nail in the coffin of all of that was, I remember getting a card in the mail from my dad one evening or day, I don't know, but in the card it said that he was going to be moving out away from the area the very next day. So by the time it actually had gotten to us, that had already happened. He had already left the area. And that to me was such a painful blow, because it even though I hadn't been seeing him for a couple of years at that point, it was this like statement of finality of it's done. We won't be seeing you. There is not really hope. My dad, it felt like he was giving up on me. And that feeling of your dad giving up on you is one that I know many men out there feel, have felt. I felt like he gave up on me. And so that was in middle school, right? One of the most formative times of somebody's life. One of the most crucial times for someone to truly know that their dad is with them, to truly know who they are. I mean, who they're figuring out who they are becoming. And at that time of my life, I didn't have my dad around. And over the years, I started to just know, to just feel, if I ever saw my dad, what I wanted was to be able to tell him all the things he had done. I wanted to be able to tell him how much he had hurt me. And going on into high school, I continued in this mild depression. But all of that was alongside of an undeniable and all-encompassing, or all-consuming is the word, hunger to know God. I had become a Christian, as much as possible when I was 4. And I probably didn't check all the right theological boxes in becoming a Christian as a 4-year-old. But I know that Jesus met me there. Because I came to him. I was sitting in the car with my mom listening to the radio, or one of her radio shows, the guy talking about heaven and stuff. And I asked her, how does everybody get to go to heaven? And she said, no. And so she told me about who does get to go to heaven and all that. And I said, well, okay, I want to know Jesus. And that's not how I would lead somebody to Jesus if I were doing it today as an adult, but it was fine for me. She was meeting me where I was, and Jesus met me where I was. And from that point on, I had this unstoppable hunger to know him. And I wanted to know him, even going through the turmoil with my own dad. And as I went deeper, further along into high school, growing up into manhood more and more and not knowing what that meant more and more, I actually got more discouraged. People on the outside wouldn't have really been able to tell. I was an outstanding student. At Christian schools, I was the kid that all the teachers liked the most. Or close to it anyway. I was the kid that was winning the awards, the academic awards, the character awards. People would have thought, oh, Matt's the guy who's most like Jesus. I ran for student government. I was president in 5th grade of the school. I was president in 8th grade of the school. All these things. I played sports. But I never felt like I was really actually able to connect with the world. I never felt like I was actually able to like excel and be on fire in life. I felt like I was behind a thin veil. And I wonder, guys, if anybody out there feels that too. That like if you feel like you're behind this veil that you can't seem to break through, and somehow, no matter how badly you want to know others and to be known, you feel distant. You feel like you can't completely connect with the people around you. And that's how I felt. I felt like I couldn't completely connect. And I didn't know why. I felt unsure of myself. When I got into high school, it took me 2 years to finally feel like I could be comfortable being me. Freshman and sophomore year, I didn't feel that way at all. And I wish that I had somebody around me to help me know how to break that, to help me know what to do to get through that veil so that I could actually connect with my world around me, feeling like I was actually being me. Of all the pain that we feel in our lives, one thing that is most painful is when you feel like you can't just be you. And no matter how hard you try, you feel like you're not being true to who you were meant to be. And you feel afraid of being yourself. You feel afraid of letting others know you. You feel afraid of speaking up and speaking your opinion. You feel afraid of people disliking you. I know now that if in that place, what I should have done to break it was I should have stepped out and fought against it rather than just taking it lying down. I should have stepped out and actually faced my fears of people instead of just sitting in my corner and wallowing in the pity and the shame of my fear of being myself. And what actually broke me out of that in those days was taking a risk, was stepping out. I actually ran for student government, and what that involved was me giving a speech in front of the entire school who didn't know me because I was too busy being afraid to be me. And when I gave that speech, I didn't win the election, but what happened was a bunch of people started to notice, hey, that guy seems pretty cool. That guy gave a great speech. Wow. All of a sudden, I was getting all this feedback. And because then I had this affirmation from people already about who I was, then I started to break out of my shell. So it was like I was cutting the head off of the snake in giving that speech. And then all of a sudden, the floodgates opened up. But that's kind of a side note there, because during all of that time of me, you know, not knowing who I was, but still being good at academics and still having everything all put together, I was wondering, who am I and how do I become a man? How do I become a man in the world without my dad around to show me? And I was after God, because from what I knew as a little boy seeking after God in the best way I knew how, I knew he was supposed to be a father. I saw Jesus call him father. And so the summer after my junior year, I was hitting one of the lowest times ever of my being depressed and discouraged about how to become a man. And I would, and this wasn't just during that summer. This was a lifestyle of daily going after the Lord. I would spend time every night in bed, falling asleep, reading the Bible and journaling about it and asking God, this stuff doesn't feel real, so what is the deal? I need to know you, and I don't right now. Will you help me? Will you show me that you are my father? Will you show me how you are my father? Will you help me become a man? Because you know what? The religious stuff doesn't do it. It doesn't help me to just be a religious guy. It doesn't help me to just be in church. It doesn't help me to just read the Bible, to just memorize verses, to just live the right way. I'll do that because I believe it's right, but that doesn't help me with where I'm at right now. I need to know you as Father. I need to experience you as Father. I can't just know about you. That will not work for me. So if you want me, here I am. And I remember one evening, I was in this same place, and I was reading. I had no idea what I was coming up to, but I was reading this verse in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 64. Here it is right here, gentlemen, for those of you watching. And it says, Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." And I read that verse where it says that you, Lord, are our Father. And it says that I am his clay, and he is the potter, and I am the work of his hand. And for whatever reason, that night, that moment when I read that, the Holy Spirit met me in my bedroom, and I crumbled under his presence. I crumbled under his weight. And I can read that now many times, and it doesn't hit me like it did then. But then Jesus was coming into my room, and the way that I know how to describe it is it was like he was hugging me to sleep that night. I fell asleep bawling, but not in pain and sadness, but in this like release of healing. And I knew, I don't know why it took so much turmoil, but in that time, I knew that God was my Father. And I was driven to know him for who he was, not to just live for him, not to just live about him, not to just know about him, but I was driven to know him better because I knew he was my lifeblood. And it was his DNA that was running through my veins. And I had to know where I came from, because if my dad wasn't around, I needed to know who I was. And yeah, I had my physical lineage, but that wasn't cutting it for me. I needed to know what my actual lineage was. I needed to know what my father was like. And he showed me. And he'll show you. He will show you himself as Father. If we want to be men in this world, we need to know our Father. That, I would say, was the very beginning of the DNA of a man. The book that is now getting into more and more men's hands. It's funny, as I've been running Facebook ads to get that book out there, I've gotten a lot of really good comments and feedback, and some comments and feedback that are just funny. People who make assumptions and make opinions about something that they don't really know. As I've been running ads about that book, I've had one person in particular make a comment like, "Oh, this is all fraudulent. This is so verbose and deceptive, and here's just another guy saying that he's got all the secrets. But so what is it that the Bible isn't enough, that Jesus isn't enough? Now this guy's got new answers for us that we need to have. And then whenever you step out in the world, there's going to be people who have a problem with it. And you know what? I'm sorry, but the church is the worst. We in the church are the worst at judging people. And I know, I will be the first to tell you, there is clear right and wrong, and there are people who do wrong things, and the Bible is very clear about what is sin and what is not, so I'm not one of those guys at all. But, man, we can throw our darts at people really quickly without ever knowing where they're coming from. So as I've been running these Facebook ads for the book, The DNA of a Man, I've gotten these comments like this. Here's just some other dude doing some fancy schmancy marketing, putting all this message out there, and it's fraudulent, and the Bible should be enough and all that. And you know what? What I responded, I just said, you know, if you knew me personally, you might have a different opinion, because the content of this book has come through fire, and the content of this book has come through my wrestling things out with the Lord. This is not fraudulent. This is not cheap, shallow, just trying to make a dollar. This is stuff I have learned through fire over years of wrestling with the Lord, and that I know men out there are needing. So men, God is with you. Go after him. Spend time seeking his face. Know him as Father. If you don't know him as Father, ask him for revelation of that. I'm asking him more right now for myself. I need it. Bless you, brothers.
This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.